As Sharon Birch McGrain notes in her absorbing history of industrial chemistry, Prometheans in the Lab, when employees at one plant developed irreversible delusions, a spokesman blandly informed reporters, "These men probably went insane because they worked too hard." Altogether, at least 15 workers died in the early days of production of leaded gasoline, and untold numbers of others became ill, often violently so. The exact numbers are unknown because the company nearly always managed to hush up news of embarrassing leakages, spills, and poisonings. At times, however, suppressing the news became impossible, most notably in 1924, when in a matter of days 5 production workers died and 35 more were turned into permanent staggering wrecks at a single ill-ventilated facility. As rumours circulated about the dangers of the new product, Ethyl's ebullient inventor, Thomas Midgley, decided to hold a demonstration for reporters to allay their concerns. As he chattered away about the company's commitment to safety, he poured tetraethyl lead over his hands, then held a beaker of it to his nose for 60 seconds, claiming all the while that he could repeat the procedure daily without harm. In fact, Midgley knew only too well the perils of lead poisoning. He had himself been made seriously ill from overexposure a few months earlier, and now, except when reassuring journalists, never went near the stuff if he could help it. Buoyed by the success of leaded gasoline, Midgley now turned to another technological problem of the age. Refrigerators in the 1920s were often appallingly risky because they used dangerous gases that sometimes leaked. One leak from a refrigerator at a hospital in Cleveland, Ohio in 1929 killed more than 100 people. Midgley set out to create a gas that was stable, non-flammable, non-corrosive, and safe to breathe. With an instinct for the regrettable that was almost uncanny, he invented chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs. Seldom has an industrial product been more swiftly or unfortunately embraced. CFCs went into production in the early 1930s and found 1,000 applications in everything from car air conditioners to deodorant sprays, before it was noticed, half a century later, that they were devouring the ozone in the stratosphere. As you will be aware, this was not a good thing. Ozone is a form of oxygen in which each molecule bears 3 atoms of oxygen instead of 2. It is a bit of a chemical oddity in that at ground level it is a pollutant, while way up in the stratosphere it is beneficial, since it soaks up dangerous ultraviolet radiation. Beneficial ozone is not terribly abundant, however. If it were distributed evenly throughout the stratosphere, it would form a layer just 1/8 of an inch or so thick. That is why it is so easily disturbed, and why such disturbances don't take long to become critical. Chlorofluorocarbons are also not very abundant. They constitute only about 1 part per billion of the atmosphere as a whole, but they are extravagantly destructive. 1 pound of CFCs can capture and annihilate 70,000 pounds of atmospheric ozone. CFCs also hang around for a long time, about a century on average, wreaking havoc all the while. They are also great heat sponges. A single CFC molecule is about 10,000 times more efficient at exacerbating greenhouse effects than a molecule of carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide is, of course, no slouch itself as a greenhouse gas. In short, chlorofluorocarbons may ultimately prove to be just about the worst invention of the 20th century. Midgley never knew this, because he died long before anyone realized how destructive CFCs were. His death was itself memorably unusual. After becoming crippled with polio, Midgley invented a contraption involving a series of motorized pulleys that automatically raised or turned him in bed. In 1944, he became entangled in the cords as the machine went into action, and was strangled.